welcome back to the roundtable. Betsy Jack served as the executive director of the Thomas Cole Historic Site for 21 years. Now she has a solo art show at Cafe Joust in Catskill, New York. Embodiment is a series of large-scale renderings depicting trees and tree-like beings that capture the essence of personal life experiences and hidden meanings. The collection reflects her observations of trees inspired by the portrayal in Thomas Cole's paintings and poetry. The paintings have been on display all month, and you can still see them through April 28th. Again, the name of the show is Embodiment, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Betsy Jacks to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I am just great. Thanks, Joe.
Wonderful to see you here and to have you talk about this. It's an amazing project. How long has this been in the works?
Well, I've been a painter all my life and had a painting career before coming to the Thomas Cole site.
Mm-hmm.
I just put it all on pause because I fell in love with that historic site and just poured all my creativity into that for 2 decades. But I am so excited to be now back painting full time. I have to pinch myself. It's so great.
So what influence does, I mean, it's, I assume it's hard to even know where it ends and where it begins and where it begins and where it ends. But when you're immersed in that world of Thomas Cole and you're talking about it and you're working on exhibitions and then you also have your own work that there certainly is a conversation that is going on there.
Absolutely. Well, if you talk to any artist, you know, they get ideas from other artists. You know, most of the people at the art openings are other artists, right? And so Thomas Cole has taken up residence in my brain permanently. I have been looking at his paintings way too long, right? But his trees in particular are so evocative. And I've developed a controversial theory that the trees are the true protagonists of his paintings. The figures are minor characters, but the trees are really the main character in the story.
What brought you to that?
Well, I've been, as I say, looking at them a lot. Every time I go to a museum, I just make a beeline for the Thomas Cole painting.
Yep.
And when you're right up to them, nose to nose, his strokes are very, you know, the details are really specific. And the trees have personality. And the thing about the, you know, the 19th century is they're not too subtle in their expressive, you know, like the people in the paintings that are sad are deeply sad, and the people who are upset are fainting, and you know, they have these broad gestures and very obvious gestures. Well, the trees are doing that. They're doing all the 19th century gestures, and they just, it has an uncanny similarity to the actual narrative that Thomas Cole was trying to convey in his letters, his poetry, his essays, and his paintings.
Not to question the theory at all, but has there been any scholarship on this as well?
I have discussed this theory with scholars, and they say, that's not out of character for Thomas Cole, but none of them will, you know, go on the record with it. So this is my theory alone.
Yeah. And but it's one that once you have in your mind, you can sort of prove to yourself over and over again, I assume.
Yeah. I have some people who've agreed with me. Like, for example, there's a painting that's in a private collection. I think it's actually on view at the in Chicago right now. But there's a cave, and there's a tree at the entrance to the cave, and I swear to you, it's the Pietà, you know, the Michelangelo sculpture, and it makes perfect sense. There's a person who's sort of fainting in the arms of another tree, a tree fainting in the arms of another tree. And so I've been drawing these trees out in my paintings and isolating them on a white ground and making them huge, up to 7 feet tall, so people can really look at them, and they are extraordinarily expressive. And so now, of course, I'm seeing that in trees all over the Hudson Valley, too.
Talk about the idea of them being expressive.
Well, okay, so let's take one of Thomas Cole's most famous paintings, the Oxbow. It's at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and that's the one that people probably know the best. It has a scene of sort of a storm and wild nature with rocky, craggy, wild wilderness on the left and a serene farm scene on the right. And we might think of it as, oh, that's so nice that we're cultivating the land. But Thomas Cole thought this was a tragedy, that the forests were being cleared and that this great, the great forests were disappearing. And so on the far left side of the painting are two figures who are trees, who are fleeing the scene. One of them is looking back, and their companion, one of the other trees, has already been severed in half. It's this trunk that I call the screaming trunk. And if you look at that painting closely, that trio of trees on the left are the protagonists of this tale. They're the ones expressing their horror at what's happening, and the trees are the victims.
So
you'll have to look at the painting to see what
no,
I mean.
No, I do understand, but I think like victim is so, but there's a negative connotation
yeah.
in that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Thomas Cole was really passionate about trees and felt that it was a great mistake what we were doing, clearing them.
But I don't know that we would necessarily look at that and say that was, I mean, I think the first thing you notice is the beauty, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's also what I do. Artists use beauty as the seduction to get you to look at their painting. And then there's the gut punch with the message, right? So if he made paintings that were hideous, then we wouldn't put them on our walls.
That's right.
Yeah. No, and he celebrated the beauty. I mean, he wanted us to realize that nature, specifically American forests and rocky crags and all these features, waterfalls, were American treasures. This was a really important thing to him. And it's important to me, too, that we really appreciate nature while we have it.
The enormity, the largeness of the paintings, that allows you, it seems to me that it would allow you really to focus.
It does. And I want to say, too, that also in the show are small paintings. So
yep.
The smallest is 4 by 4 inches, and the largest are 7 feet tall. So there's a wide range. And I think by blowing up the trees and isolating them, then it becomes more like a portrait rather than a landscape painting where the tree is the subject.
When you look at the aspects of a tree and how do you, what is the research that goes in then to say, okay, it's a tree, but it's this type of tree, and this is this tree's story,
mm-hmm.
and this is what happened to this tree or
yeah.
is going to happen to this tree.
Well, there's one in particular, that a painting in my show at Joust in Catskill, that is taken from a Thomas Cole drawing of a tree. So he did a drawing that's, you know, like 9 inches high or something. It's an ink drawing. And it was one of his earliest surviving drawings. And I noticed very faintly in the background, there's the outline of a creek. So it's near the shore of a creek. And the tree is very strange. Its roots are exposed, so the ground has been washed out from under it, and most of its branches have been cut off, so it has all this like knobby stumps all over it, and it has very few leaves, just a few at the very, very top. It's being strangled by a vine that's going round and round and round, and so like this tree is truly tortured. And so by looking at it closely, I can see the story that it's been flooded, it's been chopped, it's been strangled. And so in my painting, I blow it up 6 feet high, and I painted into it the feathers and beak of a phoenix. So I've turned this suffering tree into a phoenix rising from the ashes.
How interested are you in the paintings I've seen? The tree is front and center, and there's less so going on in the background.
That's right. In fact, there's usually nothing in the background of the paintings I do there. I just use the white, plain gesso of the canvas.
So what does that allow you? Because that really, I mean, obviously, full focus on the tree.
Yeah, because it's not a scene. It's so we have become quite used to in, you know, Western art tradition of the concept of a painting being a window into a scene. And we have this rectangular format and we look through it and then we see a world through it. Whereas my paintings are instead a flat surface and they are a portrait of a tree and an idea that's embedded in that tree rather than a window into a scene. Does that make sense?
It does. So the idea then for you is, and I guess this is a question that's often asked, and I don't know that it probably depends on any time. Where do you start? What is the starting point then for you?
Well, in this show, right, going on in Catskill for another week, I have two bodies of work. One is based on Thomas Cole's trees. And so I took the trees out of the Oxbow painting and about 8 other paintings and really studied them brushstroke by brushstroke and blow them up huge. And the other half of the work are trees that I found in the Hudson Valley. So I sometimes just veer off the side of a road when I see an old orchard and run into it because, oh my God, I love these old trees, and find these sections of them that really look like a body or really look like something that I'm feeling. And I can't articulate it at first. I just snap lots of pictures. And when I go back to my studio and I look at these images, then sections of them really start to appeal to me and I have to paint it. And then after I paint it, I look at it and I say, now, what is this about? But things, you know, you're attracted to something as an artist and you don't necessarily at first know what, why.
So I feel like we're missing a major part of this, which is the name of the show is Embodiment. So talk about that connection.
Well, yeah. So naming is quite a task, to name a whole bunch of work without putting it in a little box, you know, to try to leave it open. But I think embodiment really captures it because the trees really embody something. They embody emotions. They literally embody, you know, human form. So it becomes sort of a body-like form. I think if people look at them either in person at Joust or on my website, then I've noticed that people see things that I didn't see at first as well, which I love, and write to me about it. So I encourage people to do that.
So but you are telling a personal story as well.
I am, because I'm 55. And at this age, women keep telling me and feeling like they're marginalized, and that as soon as you get wrinkles and as soon as you get spots and you show signs of age, then you're tossed out. And I just feel like this is so wrong and so foreign. And the trees really speak to that to me, because the older they get, the more wrinkled and craggy and severed and you know, they really are. If that were skin, you would be quite horrified. And yet we think it's beautiful. And the trees keep producing their entire lives. Apple trees, they never stop, with greater abundance. And I just feel like that is the model we need for women in our society, is this idea that we grow in strength and capability and continue to flower and fruit for our entire lives.
There is, I hate reading too much into things, but I want to ask you a question. And unfortunately it's a picture. Not unfortunately, but it just means that I can't show it on the radio. Is this cropped here?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was going to ask you about the cutting. Is that cutting off, or you're allowing
it goes
it to
off
grow?
The edge?
It goes
of
to the edge of the canvas.
Yeah.
So those are the limbs of the tree going off. To
yeah.
The side.
So the painting that you're showing is an apple tree, and I called it Daphne. For those who know the story of Apollo and Daphne,
yep.
Daphne escapes Apollo's unwanted advances by turning into a tree. And so this story is always told with Apollo being this incredibly sexy guy, like youthful, and Daphne is young, and like, oh, it's so beautiful and so erotic. But you have to remember, she did not want him, right? So, I mean, she's literally turning into a tree to escape this guy. So I don't think Apollo was this young, sexy, attractive guy. I think that we need to just change this narrative around.
Betsy Jack's Art Show Embodiment is on display at Cafe Joust in Catskill, New York through April 28th. A delight to talk to you.
Thank you, Joe.
Be well. Thank you so much. Again, Embodiment through April 28th at Cafe Joust in Catskill, New York. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC coming up next. News from the BBC.